The obligation, two very important points. One point is the obligation to ask forgiveness from another person if you have in any way hurt them. Heart takes in a lot of different ideas. It's not a subjective thought. Hurting somebody could be stealing from them. Hurting somebody could be punching them. Hurting somebody could be insulting them. Different levels of insulting someone, hurting someone, lo sonuos ra'ach, even if you make somebody feel bad for a moment, you know, it's like punching them, you know, that's like stealing something from them, maybe worse, you know, that doesn't always heal as quickly, you can give something back, hurt somebody. So all of these, this is the first big Kiddush of the Torah is that all of this stuff makes a difference. One has a personal responsibility not to hurt another person in any way. Point one, and this goes to an obsessive degree. We shouldn't obsess about things. This we should obsess about. Like really not. I remember when I learned here in the Yeshiva Tororos. I remember Rav Scheinberg saying to somebody. He said, you know, you're walking around like you're looking upset. You're looking upset. So the person said, I am upset. He was upset about something. I don't know what, he lost his chavrus, he got a chavrus, I don't remember what it was. He was upset about something. So the Rishiva said to him, so you're upset, but everywhere you walk, everybody looks at you and gets upset. You know, there's this power that a person has just by walking around upset that makes everybody else around them upset. So the guy said, it's not my problem. I'm upset, you know, like not going and making everybody. If somebody gets upset by looking at me, that's their problem. So he said, no. A person's face, listen to this, memorize this line of the great Gadol. A person's face is a public domain. Rishus Harab. Rishus Harab. What's in your heart maybe belongs to you. What's in your face doesn't belong to you. It's like, so you go, you dig a hole in the middle of the street, and everybody who drives by, it's a flat tire. Everybody gets a flat tire. So my foot, let him drive around. You know? So the answer is there's a halacha of bar b'shus harabim. There's a din of, you're not allowed to make a bar b'shus harabim. You can't say it's somebody else's problem. Even if you're carrying a bag of tomatoes from the store and one of them slips, you don't even realize, slips out of the bag and falls onto the ground, and then an hour later somebody comes and slips on the tomato. So you're chayiv, even if you don't know about it, you're chayiv. It's a tough one. How are you going to ask that person mechila? It's a difficult one. So the first step that we have to get clear in our heads, particularly now, Erev Yom Kippur, is that we're not allowed to hurt other people. Period. If we do hurt, 3 points I want to make here. If we do hurt other people, God forbid, knowingly, unknowingly, willingly, unwillingly, purposely, deliberately, accidentally, if we hurt somebody else, so we have to ask mechila, which we have to understand, we have to analyze that in a deep way. But the top deep thing is we've got to apologize. You know, I heard once from Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, he said that everybody says that it's time to say slichas. Say slichas. What does slichas mean?
Forgiveness.
Right. So he said, you don't say slichas, you ask slichas. Say slichas. Say slichas. Say I'm sorry. You ask forgiveness. If you hurt another person, you don't say you're sorry. Anyway, don't tell me you're sorry. It doesn't mean every mother in the world says, I don't want to hear you say I'm sorry. Well, what am I supposed to say? So the answer is, you're not supposed to say you're sorry. That's not the point. Sorry is just a way of ending the anxiety. What you're supposed to do is ask forgiveness. Mevakesh slicha, mevakesh mechila. So when we talk about mechila, it's not about saying, it's Erev Yom Kippur, yivochel be. That's not the point. The point is straighten things out. Mevakesh mechila. It's a request that you're making of the other person to forgive you. So how does it work? I don't know if you remember. I explained this at the very end on Sunday, the very end before we left, that if the way to look at this is halachically, and this is a lamdusha thing that I'm telling you, the way to look at this is that if I in any way hurt you, so I owe you one. It's like, let's say I steal money from you. I owe you the money. I owe you the dollar or the shekel or the 100 shekel or whatever it is. I owe you 100 shekel. Now, there's two ways of dealing with it. One is I give you back the 100 shekel. That's easy. The other way is you could be mochel, the 100 shekel. You can say, I forgive the debt. So it means I have a debt with you, and you forgive the debt. It's a whole different idea of forgiving the debt. In other words, so that's another way of me paying it, kilo, because if you look at the Soys HaChoshin and the Masivas and all the in Lamed Hey, all the how Mechila works, it's you're saying it's kilo iskabelti. It's as if I received the money back. So the chiddush of the Torah, beautiful chiddush of the Torah, is that even high in the sky type of a thing, an intangible idea of I insulted you. So even on that debt, it's possible to forgive the debt. It's a debt. If I insulted you, I owe you one. How am I going to pay you back? It's not 100 shekels. It's not 500 shekels. How much is it? So it's nothing. The answer is there's no way. You understand me? There is no way to pay it back. How can I uninsult you? If I embarrassed you in public, how do I unembarrass you in public? how do you do that? I can pay you back 500 shekel, but how do I unembarrass you? How do you do it? You always think of like somebody is on a, you could be on an egghead bus, there's 75 people on the bus, and somebody starts screaming at you on the bus, and they embarrass you. The whole bus is staring at you, looking at you, and then you don't even know what he's saying because he's talking Hebrew, but he's embarrassing you. and then you get off the bus because you can't stand it. The other guy who embarrassed you gets off the bus, and you're both walking away, and he says to you, "Boy, I'm really sorry about that. forgive me." What, forgive you? Come back on the bus and talk to the people. You embarrass me in public, you have to unembarrass me in public. So unfortunately, this is a debt that there's no way to pay back. How do you pay back such a debt? How much does it cost to pay back such a debt? So there's only one halachic etzah for this, and that is mechila. So the way we have to understand mechila is that for the debts that I can't, for the things that I owe you that I can't pay you back, the only way to handle this is for me to get you in your benevolence to be mochel b'chov. You have to forgive the debt. You have to forgive the debt, because otherwise, how do I unembarrass you? How do I unhumiliate you? How do I get you back? How can I do that? By the way, I don't want to, I don't usually like say a lot of Musser, but I guess Erev Yom Kippur. But it's just something that I saw in my own experience. We think, we're used to we're drawing a box around whatever it is that we say or whatever it is that we do. Here we are. But the fact of the matter is, it's not so simple. If you insult somebody in a certain type of a way, or embarrass somebody in a certain type of a way. This can make a just to make a general comment. This can make a difference for generations. Not for this minute, and not even for your life. But it can affect a person's. This is not far fetched what I'm saying. It can affect a person's decision making process. A person could say, this place is not for me, or this type of person is not for me, or this whole type of conversation is not for me. So a person can move, can actually make an adjustment in their life, a negative adjustment in their life, and give that over to their children. I've seen it happen in my own eyes. Give it over to their children, the next children. So you can have six generations, seven generations of people that are marrying non-Jews, and they'll all come to Shemayim, and they'll say, look, it wasn't us. This guy said what he shouldn't have said. It's a heavy idea, but I'm just saying that, and I'm not saying this that anybody should become just saying that we should be careful, because at the same token, and here's the good news, that if you say one good word to somebody, one word of chizuk, you can affect generations can be affected. And when you come to Shemayim, you're going to have all these people lining up, all the neshamas lining up to greet you, thank you. That kind word that you said to my great-great-great-grandfather in Shemayim, where it's above time, thank you. You don't know what it is. The reason we're everybody's sitting here might be because somebody said one good word five generations ago or three generations. They don't know. So there's this dynastic effect of everything that we do and everything that we say. And if it's something negative, chas v'shalom, so you got to get forgiveness from the chov. You have to get the debt forgiven, because otherwise there's almost no way to do it. And that's the halacha of mechila. Yeah.
It seems like for a number of us here, we're more like these classified as the social bali tshuva. And we've lived up to maybe a few years, you know, now that we lived a different type of lifestyle, that maybe we probably have more mechila back then, you know, than we do now, or that we need to search for it more. How do we render that in our lives today?
I don't know if there's any hefter, you know, like being a Baal Teshuva is not a hefter. It's a problem, you know.
It is a major problem.
Right. So the answer is, if there's something in your mind that you have to ask mechila for, if there's something that you remember it. So ask mechila. Why keep that kind of a stain on? Ask, do it. Make the phone call and do it. Send an email. You know, there's nothing wrong. It's nothing but a Kiddush Hashem to find somebody from a previous life and send them an email and say, you know, I was just thinking about this, and this was like a really dumb thing that I did at the time. And they said, you know, I hope, you know, I just wanted to apologize for to you. I never apologize. What's wrong? It's a Kiddush Hashem. And what do we need to walk around with that, you know, with that tomato on the street? Who knows who's going to slip on the tomato on the street? I say the tomato on the street. The reason I say the tomato on the street is because one of the things that made a big impression on me in my youth. You know, I came here to Madrasar, I was 14 years old. And when Reb Zadel Epstein came to Madersdorf, I think I was 16 years old, you know. So, and I was walking with him, Reb Zadel Epstein was walking with him from the yeshiva to his house, and there was like a whole bunch of tomatoes. Somebody bought some tomatoes, and I guess they fell out of a car, out of a truck or something. Somehow there was a bunch of tomatoes on the ground. So he felt that he accidentally like kicked one of them, wasn't sure which one it was, so he said, this is my bor b'shus haram, you know. The minute that he moved it, so the one that he moved became his, because that's the halacha. If there's an existing ditch, hole, pothole, and you make it a drop deeper, that's your pothole. That's your pothole. You're the last one to touch it. It's your pothole. So he sat there. It was me. I was lucky what I had to be walking with him. Cleaned up all the tomatoes from the street. So I'm thinking to myself that, you know, if that's the case with the tomato and, you know, and somebody slipping the heels, you know, what's the chance of somebody slipping on a tomato? And if they slip on the tomatoes, so they're going to heal. Like, they're not going to. Probably it's going to be okay. You know, the tomatoes and the, you know, it'll rain. It'll wash the tomato. But these are things that I'm talking about that last forever. So this is the power of our words, negative and more important, positive. Maybe the way to do tshuva though for some of the negative things that we said that we can't fix up is to say, give out some positive stuff. Give out some positive answers. Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah.
In my own experience, it's not so simple. Like, say, please forgive me. The person says, either there's nothing to forgive, or they say, yeah, I forgive you. That's, to me, usually, that's not real.
It's not doing, like, the mitzvah.
In other words, the person sometimes needs to open it up and say, you know, that really hurt me. You insulted me, and it was in public, and people were watching, etc. And then after they get it out, then sometimes like a healing process. It doesn't happen like that.
Absolutely.
As I said on Sunday,
it could take a year. It could take therapy. You know, it's not necessarily an easy thing. I'm not saying that it's not easy. I'm just saying that just because it's not easy.
That just goes to show you
how important it is.
Right.
Absolutely.
It doesn't,
almost nothing.
Right. That's almost. Where most, a lot of people say, oh, there's really nothing, and often in their heart there is something.
My observation has been that we tend to ask mechila from people that we don't have to ask mechila from, and the people that we have to ask mechila from, we don't bother with. That's a too hard pile. Like, so it's almost, the whole thing is almost an exercise in futility, unless you do it right. And the only way to do it right is do what you're supposed to do on the days before Yom Kippur and take a few minutes and think. If there's anybody, at least recently, you know, if there's anybody that I might have hurt, and people are sensitive, and you know what, people are sensitive. That's our problem, not just their problem. People are sensitive. That's our problem. Got to deal with it. Like, we have to be as sensitive as the other person. It's like a.
Do we do the same chiyuv for non-Jews?
I don't know if it's the same chiyuv. Chiyuv means obligation. I don't know if it's the same chiyuv because it's a different level of tzelem elokim. that we're hurting, but I believe the Tosfos says explicitly that it is the correct hanhaga of Talmidei Chachamim and Jews to make sure that you've offended nobody. L'chol mi shehichi, says. Anyway, make sure you've offended nobody. It's very hard to find this issue, by the way. I've spent a lot of time on it. It's very hard to find this issue in halacha, the early halachists, because they simply had absolutely no connection with non-Jews. Like, it never got close enough to them to insult them. You know, there was... and who was insulting it? You know, sometimes if the Jew was somehow... it just doesn't appear in halacha. We were ghettoized during a lot of the writings of the... But you would think the Rambam, who had a lot to do with non-Jews, you would think, but he doesn't say it clearly. To my knowledge, he doesn't say it clearly. The third halacha that has to be put down, just to make sure we get the first one, is how important it is what we do and what we say. The second thing is that we have to make that mechila is a way of forgiving the debt. And the third thing is, perhaps the most important thing, is that we have to grant mechila if asked. Perhaps even if not asked, we have to grant mechila. In other words, if we understand that this is maybe the most difficult part of it all, you know, if we understand that somebody hurt us and we are thereby hurting their chances for tshuva, etc., so it would be a tremendous chesed, tremendous act of kindness on our part to straighten it out. Now, if you could straighten it out by yourself, not even the other person knowing it. So, why not? In other words, if I can forgive that which is owed to me and say, so that seems to me like that's what the Chafetz Chaim would do. You know, if you're on that type of a level where you can just, you know, just say, okay, you know what, I'm straining out. But here you got to be careful because, you know, again, in my experience, people tend to fool themselves enormously about this. And if you're really not okay with it, so what's the point of thinking that you are okay with it? You know, if somebody really hurt you, so what's the point of saying, it doesn't bother me? Like, if it does bother you, it does bother you. So if you can, so similar, I'm not saying that this is exactly what it is, but similar, there's an argument in the Gemara. The Gemara says, it talks about, you know, whether you should, whether you're, what are the cases, whether you're allowed to speak Lashon Hara. So there's an idea of this, da'aga b'levish, a person has something in their heart that's bothering them. So the pasuk says, "Da'aga b'levish yisichena." Get rid of it. Yisichena means get rid of it. So your murder is machlokas. Yisichena. What does get rid of it? How do you get rid of it? I have this worry about another person. I'm worried. You hurt me. So what opinion is yisichena milibay? Get rid of it out of your heart. Just get rid of it. Work on it. Learn some Torah and get rid of it. Other opinion is yisichena lacher. You know, speak it out to other people. You'll feel better. In other words, sometimes, and the Chafetz Chaim says this idea, that sometimes, like, if you can deal with it yourself, that's the best thing, because if you're going to go to the person and say, you hurt me, maybe, you know, might make it worse. But if you can't do that, so then you have to do it with the other person, and it means you have to open up a conversation, which might be an uncomfortable conversation. But, you know, these things, I think the therapists all say, you know, in relationships, you know, things get worse before they get better. So that's why it's not worth waiting till Erev Yom Kippur. Because it gets you right at the wrong moment there. You know, you got to get things can get worse before they get better. The reason is because if there's a relationship problem and you bring it out into the open, so okay, it was submerged. It was, you know, not over with, though. You know, people aren't over it because it comes up. It pops up, bubbles up like a volcanic lava, you know, every once in a while. Just bubbles up, you know. Or it'll come out in funny kind of ways, you know. But you see some people that, like, whenever they see another person, certain other people, they're always, like, have some kind of a dig for them. You know, some people are always digging. So, I think that a lot of times what that is that there's some kind of a basic problem inside, which I'm not just speaking about. So, you know, so what happens is just I'm constantly poking, you know, instead of, you know, like these little eruptions, instead of just getting out. So the idea with all these things, what the Torah wants, I wouldn't bring it up if this wasn't what Yom Kippur is all about, really, because it just opens up us just to straighten these things out. So it's knowing the power of what we do and say towards other people, asking for forgiveness of that debt when need be, and granting it, which is, as I say, probably the most difficult thing. So we learned a pasuk where this comes from, is a pasuk in Achrimos. We learn ki bayom hazeh yichaper aleichem l'tayres chamikol chatoseichem lifnei Hashem titaru. That Yom Kippur has the ability. Yom Kippur is a tremendous gift from Hashem that has the ability that on this day, if you do tshuva, on this day, Hashem will forgive you and He will purify you. So you explained, right? What's the purification mean? That not just you'll forgive me, you won't punish me, but what?
It's gone.
Erase the mark. Not even there. So too, you need these two steps in tshuva between two people. Same thing, you know, and that is not only do I have to forgive the other person or get the forgiveness from the other person, but latayer eschem, one wants to try to achieve a level of purity where we get to the point where we're back to where we started, maybe even better. The Talmud Zvara says, maybe even better. The fact of the matter is that if we had some type of a problem in a relationship with another human being, so very often that's because Hashem wants you to have even a better relationship. So what happens is that by straightening it out, not only you get back with Tyre Eschem, you achieve a level of purity that you didn't even have before you started. Before it was just like pirate, but this helped us dig into a thing and create even a closer relationship. Some of the closest, some of the best marriages in the world are marriages that have problems. Because if you have a marriage that had problems, you think, oh, hey, this thing is never going to work. But because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts them in a situation where they're forced to work the things out between each other, they get the deepest kind of a beautiful relationship. You see two people, like they become like one by the time they're 80. You gotta have patience for these things. But the end of the pasuk is Lifnei Hashem Titaru. That this whole Yom Kippur works. This is a Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said that the only place where tshuva works is Lifnei Hashem. Where can you have Tara? Lifnei Hashem, in front of Hashem. But Lifnei, says Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Lifnei Basar Vadam. If we're talking about Sigmar and Yuma. See over here, Pehei Hamad Beis. If you're talking about if I have to do tshuva because of what I did to another person, not lifnei Hashem. So I have a different halacha of tshuva that now I have to go in front of that person. Okay, so that's the pasuk, and we spend time on it. But then, let me just take until 10:15 here to explain that that's so we understand. I can't do tshuva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for something that I've done to another person. By the way, that doesn't mean after I get the mechila from another person that I don't have to do tshuva for it. Let's not get confused. In other words, we're not compartmentalizing the whole process here. I can't do tshuva, I can't talk to God about something that I did to you. That's not going to work. So I got to talk to you about something that I did to you, and I got to clear that up. Now, I have to take that same aveira, and I have to do tshuva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why Ashamnu, Baganu, Gazanu, Dibarnu, Doifi, Havinu, those are all, half of them are all between a man and man. So what am I doing tshuva for if it doesn't help? The answer is after you straighten it out, because every time you hurt another person, you've done two things wrong. You've hurt the other person, and you've done an aveira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So yes, of course you got to do tshuva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it doesn't even begin until you do tshuva to that person. Okay, now, then we learn, take the next place. Let's just skip over here. To this Kaf HaChaim, page 1c here. Briefly. Yesh Mi Shekasav, and Emma says this is what most of the Poskim say. There are those that write, Im Lo Shav Me Averi Shebeinoi L'Chaveroi, that if you don't take care of the Beinoi L'Chaver Averois, Gam Averi Shebeinoi L'Mokoim Einoi Mesaper. Okay, so let's say, God forbid, a person does two Averis. He insulted somebody else in public, embarrassed somebody else in public, and he ate some treif. Mm-hmm. So he's okay. I ate treif, I'll talk to God. I embarrass somebody in public, I'll talk to this guy. And then I'll talk to God. That's what he knows he has to do on Erev Yom Kippur. So he doesn't get around to the part about talking to the guy. Just dealing with God. So Yom Kippur, he's talking to Hashem. Doesn't get around to it. So Shiloh's like this. Does that mean, okay, so I did tshuva on the eating treif, but I didn't do tshuva on the part that I insulted another person. Says the Kaf HaChaim, no. Brings this from Gedolim, and I found this in Rishayim after I wrote this. The Rishayim say that it's not that I can't do tshuva on insulting another person without talking to them, it's that I can't do tshuva on eating treif without taking care of this beinam l'chaver. In other words, I can't begin to do tshuva. I can't speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and expect him to forgive me, even for beinam l'makom, for man and God things, if I don't take care of the man to man things first. So there's a process here. There's a seder. Seder is first I have to take care of the beinam l'chaver and then the beinam l'makom, and I can't even deal with the beinam l'makoms. It's not, you can't divide these two issues. Now, why would that be? What's one thing got to do with the other? I'm taking care of my Beit Olam L'Malka, I'm talking to God. I'm talking about Beit Olam L'Chaver, I'm talking to man. So why should one affect the other? We don't find it the other way around, L'Chora. We don't find it the other way around, that if I don't take care of my man to God things, I can't take care of my man to man things. But we do find that if I don't take care of my Beit Olam L'Chaver, my man to man, I can't even begin to approach God about total spiritual failings. So why would it be? Let me hear one good one. Let me hear the best. Who's got the best spar? So
you can't reach the spiritual. Spiritual is only made by a physical.
Okay, so you can't. Okay, that's a good idea. That you can't get to a high place until you get. You can't skip a step. Okay, what do you say?
Plus an incentive for us to do Shuvah.
It's an incentive. So it's an incentive program. Not a. What do you say?
It's not really Shuvah if you're only doing it because Hashem. You're only doing Shuvah because you sinned against Hashem. It's not real Shuvah. You realize what you actually did something wrong. Until you actually go to your friend, it's not real.
No, but why can't I do tshuva on the fact that I didn't put on tefillin one day?
Because all the sins came from Hashem. All the mitzvahs came from Hashem. So the two of them are the same. Just like you have to go to your friend for the one, but the two are tied together until you really are on all. Just like we said, one thing says that you can't get any reasons forgiven until you get all your sins forgiven.
Okay.
It's all
one thing. Okay, so let's combine the ideas. Let me leave you with this idea. Let me go to the next page here, 1D. We'll hear this last sentence here. I'm jumping around because time. You see the highlights here? First highlight. Sefer Chavos Yoyer. Says in the Chavos Yoyer. Masha Amru, this that we say, She'ed Yom HaKippur Mechaper Al Averi Shem Beinam L'Chaveri, that Yom Kippur does not work for man-to-man sins. Zehu means to say, Shim yesh avera beinoy lebein chaveroi, that if one has something unfinished business between himself and somebody else, ein Yom Kippur mechaper klal. Yom Kippur doesn't work at all. So you can't walk into Yom Kippur, as we said, this is the Chavos Yoyer, you can't walk into Yom Kippur with a violation, with unfinished business beinam lechaveroi, afilu lebeinoy lebein chaveroi, as I explained. Now the last paragraph, why? Here's the idea why. Kemoi kain, well, this is after a long treatise. If I don't straighten out with you, if I have sinned against you, it's like I jumped into a mikveh to purify myself, and I was wearing a band-aid. There's one part of me which is not which has not been immersed. You immerse the pot in the water, you don't take off the label. So, what happens is that an immersion has to be a total immersion. And if it's not a total immersion, it's not a 90% immersion. It's not an immersion. an immersion into a mikveh has to be a complete surrounding. This is the whole idea. If I'm going into a mikveh, there's absolutely no chatzitza, thank you, between me and that water. This is like one of the few times that I'm totally surrounded, every single drop of me, and I'm thinking to myself while I'm in this mikveh that just like I'm totally surrounded, every single drop of me is encompassed by this water, so too in my life is everything encompassed by Hashem. Like, that's the idea that you think about when you're under the water of the mikveh. You don't want to think about this too long. Otherwise you will be totally immersed in Hashem. but this is the idea. Like, I'm totally contact at every level. So, everything except for my finger. Everything except for my ear, everything except for my brain, everything except for my heart. It's not that, you know, you're immersing 90%, it's not an immersion. It's not an immersion. So this idea is that Yom Kippur is an immersion. It says right in the Chumash, right in the Machzor, we say Yom Kippur is an immersion. Hashem, it's like we're immersing ourselves in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can meditate on this idea of becoming so attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being totally surrounded by Hashem, every single drop of us. Except that I've got this outstanding debt that I embarrassed this guy. So I've got one finger sticking out of the mikveh. Or maybe a hand, or maybe my head. So the immersion is not an immersion. It's a joke. It doesn't work. It doesn't happen. It's not halakhically, it's not an immersion. So the idea is, k'moy kein, k'moy shenishar ba'ezem makom sh'loy tovo lo'isay. Left with a place that you didn't tovo. Ba'az ein tfilosa oylo lo'y gam k'neged shara averus. So if I'm not tovoing, I'm not tovoing. I'm not doing Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is an immersion. If I'm not immersing, I'm not immersing. Shum she'ef she'liyah is tar l'chatzayin. There is no such thing as halfway pure. There is no purity for half, or three quarters, or 9/10. A purity is a purity. So this is why I think the you know, we'll go further if you're tomorrow, but the point is that at least this, that obviously we should think about who it is we have to straighten out with, and it's going to be the person that you want to talk to the least, you know, that you're going to come up with. But also, if we're hurt, if we're walking around like, you know, wounded, it's like a very, very important time to work within ourselves, I think, to let the other person have his Yom Kippur. You know, nobody here wants to stop somebody else's Yom Kippur help. So you don't want to do that. So, best thing for us is if that other person gets a kapara, that other person has a tara, that other person immerses. It's the best thing for us, you know. That person should do tshuva. So don't stop another person's Yom Kippur. So you've got to resolve it. If you resolve it yourself, resolve it yourself. Resolve with the other person. But then I think HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help, that the people that we need to ask forgiveness for will straighten out with them also. Okay.